Praise God. Good evening, Bethany. Good to be in God's house. We welcome those watching us online. We've been doing a series over these last months in the book of Philippians. Appreciate Paul's message to us about being partners together in the gospel. Tonight, we want to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Krista, last time in end of December, spoke briefly that verse of chapter 4, when she said, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, here's the key, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Throughout the letter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, he speaks in chapter 1, verse 27, verse 3, how he's so enjoying and thankful that the people of God are partners in the gospel. He speaks of them also as conducting themselves, having a like mind, having a same love, having a unity of the spirit and purpose. And in chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, just turn back to chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, before we get into the passage in Philippians chapter 4. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, Paul says this, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in his love, from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of us look out not for our own interest, but also for the interest of others." Paul's writing this letter from a Philippian to the church at Philippi. He's in prison, but what he wants them to recognize is the importance of three things. And I believe we need to apply this to our lives. I want to stand firm in the Lord, don't you, this year? And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Let's believe God as we gather in prayer in a few minutes that we would be joined one in spirit with one mind, striving together, contending and sharing and advancing the gospel here in the greater Pioneer Valley. I believe the enemy always fears a team effort. And what the enemy would like to do would be divide and cause disunity and cause us to look only out for ourselves, to only look out for our own interest. But I'm thankful to God that he masterfully, through Paul's writing, helps us to recognize the importance of standing firm in one spirit. How many would join me at the beginning of this year in saying afresh, as we sang, "Renew my heart, O God. Renew your work here in Springfield. Renew our spirit. Don't allow the enemy to come in. The enemy will try to derail you. The enemy will always try to discourage you. The enemy will try to defeat you. But I'm thankful we could say tonight, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." The picture of a unified body at Philippi. Paul blends what he so often does through his letters, the great teaching of the already and the not yet. How do we live now? How do we live presently? How do I live effectively? How do I live with humility? How do I live with a spirit of unity and an attitude of cooperation in the body that God's placed us with? But as we live in the already, there's also the not yet. The recognizing that we need to see our lives in the light of Christ coming again. Bethany, let's be a people that would not allow anything to separate that great standing firm together. I'm thankful I'm a part of a church, and I look out every Sunday and I see it even tonight. We recognize when people come to Bethany, we count everyone that's here. You know why? Because everyone counts. You need the body. I need the body in Bethany as never before. I'm sensing that, aren't you? We live in a world that could easily, we live in a world that could easily just overwhelm you with everything that's going on. And you come to these doors and you see a brother and a sister, and they greet you and they pray for you and they ask, and they're concerned about you. They're not just filled with their own self-interest, but they're interested in you. You matter to the church. We need everyone to stand firm, I believe, in 2024 as never before, because there's too many things that could come against us. We come to Philippians chapter 4 quickly, and we read as Paul continues, he's telling them to stand firm in the Lord. And then he singles out, or he mentions two women, and he doesn't do that to embarrass them. He's just calling out them to come together in Christ and to settle whatever would cause a disagreement. How many know that all of us face times when we don't always agree with everyone else? If you think you're going to find the perfect church, we often heard, don't join it because you'd ruin it and I'd ruin it. All kidding aside, these two women, I'm not going to belabor it. I'm not going to speculate. That's not the important focus. But here's what it says. Paul says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Too many people like people. The only people that they like that are agreeable are those who agree with them. If they disagree, then that's a whole nother story. Whatever the disagreement was, how many realize there's nothing so small that it can't be blown out of proportion? If you don't think small things matter, try spending a night in a room with a mosquito. And I've been there. We'll leave it at that. But little things matter. Little flies can spoil the ointment. Disunity, pride, a sense of just self-interest, a sense of spiritual or social elitism. I'm thankful that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all come through humbling ourselves and recognizing I want to be a partner in the gospel in a fresh way. Any small rift or strife or any contention against someone else is a threat to unity. In New Jersey, where I grew up, we would just simply say, get on with it, or get over it, or let it go. How many sometimes have to let some things go? If you carry a grudge, if you carry an offense, it can get very heavy after a while. Let it go. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Key priority throughout this, real quick, is that the advancement of the gospel. That's what Paul's focus is. We need to have that focus here in Bethany. I want to be a part of what our pastor and board wants us to see, a renovation not only of our building, but of our hearts, of our spirit, of our life. Dr. Gordon Fee, of the late Pentecostal scholar, made a great statement in his commentary in Philippians, and I've tried to apply it, Pastor Stephen. I want to live this out. I want you to help me to live this out and kind of call me to it during the year. But he makes the statement that these women there in Philippi, in the church at Philippi, who are called to be partners together, should simply resolve to doing the gospel. If every one of us, maybe just write it down. I'm going to carry that with me in the early days of 2024. Let's do it. Let's doing the gospel in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, an attitude of humility, an attitude of expectancy, an attitude of honoring one another, simply doing the gospel. It's not making a New Year's resolution, which would be based on my willpower, but I believe we could all do the gospel in a powerful way by the Spirit of God working in us day by day. That's what we're going to do in a few minutes. We're going to join in prayer. We're going to seek God afresh and anew in the beginning of this year, that the unity of the Spirit, that the partnership in the gospel would be so strong and evident in the coming days. Gavin Altland said the word, he said that humility is the joy of self-forgetfulness. You just forget about yourself and we humble ourselves. There's a great work to be done. And we recognize that anything could break down the unity of the Spirit. Small weeds can become big weeds. Self-centeredness, an attitude of carrying our ego and focusing on our importance. I'm thankful. Don't get sidetracked with God, what he wants to do in our lives in a special way. There's no insignificant person in the body of Christ. That Philippi, it grew out of a meeting at a bank of a river with several women there in the early stages of Paul's ministry there in Philippi. And from that, the church grew. But how many know that there is opposition? The enemy fears a team effort. The enemy would love to divide and conquer. If he could take your heart out, he'll take you out. But I'm thankful that we can be strong in the Lord. I've shared that in my classes. I've stood on that. I shared it again today in the visit I made. I told the person, stand on Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord and the power of his might. That's why Paul would say, these two women, agree in the Lord. In yourself, by yourself, you might not want to agree. You might want your way. You might want to just hold on to a grudge or a wrong attitude. But that's not God's purpose for the body of Christ. Don't allow the enemy to sidetrack us from the essential mission. The whole focus of Paul's teaching throughout the book of Philippians is to advance the gospel. He goes on to say, and how many recognize, he says this, yes, I ask you also, true companion, an unnamed individual, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together. What a beautiful picture that is. Sure, they had a disagreement. But in the Lord, they could come together. There's more things more important than me getting my way or the highway. There needs to be a sense I want to be able to grow up spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, and in every way in my life that I would not find myself holding a grudge or not forgiving or keeping score. But this individual, Paul says, he's calling a true companion to help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together, and he does name an individual, with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. You see the picture? There's a spirit of unity that's based on the body standing firm, not majoring in minors, not getting caught in a side issue or personal preference or my agenda, but it's focusing in on the advancement of the gospel in Philippi. That's what God wants to do in the greater Springfield area. That's what God wants to do in our homes and our families, I believe, in even a greater way. So some of the life lessons we take with us quickly is co-laborers together. These two women, others, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Clement, anyone else involved in the ministry there in that local church, co-laborers together need one another. And I'm thankful that, we learn from this sometimes, you don't need a title. You don't always need a title to be significant in the body of Christ. Everyone has a ministry here in Bethany. God wants to equip you and enable you in gifting, in things that God has helped you to develop in your Christian walk, that we're not here to compete with each other, but to complement each other. Can we believe for that tonight? Can we believe tonight that God's not going to allow us to ever compete with each other or think we're better than anyone else? I need this as much as anyone else, because let me just say it. There's sometimes we need to check our spirit and check our ego in the parking lot before we come through the door. We just need to let go of pride or self-absorption or self-focus and I didn't get what I wanted or petty stuff. Our world today, it needs a unified, spirit-filled church as never before. That's all I'm saying. I want to be part of that, Pastor Stephen. I'm committed to that as long as God continues to help me. God brought me back to Bethany. I'm not going anywhere, so... My spiritual mentor, Pastor Berkey, who turned 97. Liz, thank you. Always good to have a wife that's smarter than me. But I called Pastor Berkey, my spiritual mentor, to wish him a happy birthday. 97 is quite a milestone. And I told him, he asked me how old I was, and I told him. He said, Ken, keep going till you hear the trumpet sound. Keep going till you hear the trumpet sound. And in closing, I share that key. Remember I mentioned earlier, the already, we live in the present. We live here in January 10th, 2024, in the greater Pioneer Valley. But there's also the aspect of the not yet. We live in light of the future glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe as a Pentecostal fellowship, as the assemblies of God, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I believe as we see no date setting, no focus on what when that would be. The key is to be ready. The key is to be ready. And we see signs of the times are all around. End time, age-long signs. And we see things continuing, growing. The pains of everyday life. Let's not get sidetracked with our mission. Let's do the gospel, Bethany. I want to do the gospel in every aspect. And let God teach you what that is through prayer and fasting, through getting alone with God, through being still and quiet and focusing on what really matters. For here's what it says. And I love how it concludes. He says, I want you to, my true companion and Clement, to help these people in the Lord to resolve whatever difference they might have had. And the rest of my fellow workers, and here's the beautiful truth, whose names are written in the book of life. How many are glad tonight you know Jesus? Your name is written down. Your name is written in the book of life. And we have that future hope and glory that the things of this world can't take away. And Paul says it so well in chapter 3 in closing, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, praise God, by the power that enables him to subject all things unto himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's, by the grace of God, continue to do the gospel through every area of our life, to serve as co-laborers in the already, in light of the not yet, the future with Christ. And I call upon us tonight, as Pastor Stephen comes, to seek, to depend, to humble ourselves, to know that we can stand firm in the Lord. We could be unified in one spirit, and we could find his grace and his power to be sufficient to do the gospel in a powerful way in 2024. Pastor Stephen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken. We don't want you to go anywhere either. So, and I felt very strongly coming into this week of fasting and prayer, and only confirmed throughout it this focus on unity and a renewal that needs to take place in the body of Christ. I really believe that this year, and I'm going to be talking more about this on Sunday, but I think this year is an important year in the life of the church as we complete a renovation. I've said from the beginning, we're not renovating as if that is the goal. We're renovating because the tool God gave us needed to be renovated, and so we needed to take care of it. But that's not the vision of the church. It helps lead the way into the mission of God so we can be effective. But I believe that God wants to use this church more broadly in the future. And that requires a unified church, like Pastor Ken has spoken to us about tonight. A church that is unified, not around our preferences, not around our ethnicity, not around the style of music we do or whatever. The church that is unified on a resolve to do the gospel, like Pastor Ken so succinctly put it tonight. Our resolve has to be, we are unified because we have been brought together into the family of God. And if it were not for that, I don't know, I'd be hanging around y'all, to be honest. Probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't want to be hanging around me. We probably wouldn't be very pleasant people if it were not for Jesus and the gospel. But he saved us, and he's given us a purpose and a mission. And we need to be resolved to do that. That's going to take a commitment from individuals. It's going to take a closer unity and accountability to one another. And you don't get there overnight. You don't get there in one service. But you do get there by being together and by prayer, I think, is also very critical in this. And so we're going to talk about renewal on Sunday. We're going to talk about the vision of this church on Sunday. We're going to talk about the necessity of unity. But I so appreciate Pastor Ken setting that up so well. And tonight we're going to pray in a couple of different ways. The first way is pretty simple. This little phrase, I think, is so profound. Resolve to do the gospel. Resolve to do the gospel in the sense that I am going to live with the gospel in my internal life and allow the gospel to change me. And I'm going to resolve to also bring that gospel to other people who need to hear it. I'm going to resolve to do the gospel. I'm going to be sanctified, and I'm also going to be an evangelist for Jesus. And so tonight, I want to encourage you, if you would, even now, to stand, come forward, find a place to pray, and just begin for the next few moments to seek the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm resolved to do the gospel, but ask him for wisdom. How do I do that? What needs to change in my heart? What needs to be uprooted? What needs to be moved out? What attitude needs to go? What broken relationship do I need to go and fix and mend? Do I need to apologize? How do I need to humble myself? Where do you want to move me where I've not been listening? Who is it that you've been sending me to and I've not been going? Lord, I want to be resolved to do the gospel. Would you help me to do that? Let's seek him for the next few moments. Just have an attitude of openness as you're seeking him and of asking the Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you make clear how to do this? How do I do the gospel? Let's just begin to call out to him and seek the Lord. Just lift your own voice and begin to pray and say, Lord, help us to do the gospel. Teach us, Lord, to be resolved in it. Begin to lift your own hands and your voice and call out to the Lord. Ask him, what is it in my life that is not right? Maybe there are things where you've been distracted and out of touch with the gospel altogether. Your priorities have not been straight. And you want to say tonight, Lord, I'm resolved to do the gospel. Even in my weakness, I'm resolved because I know that you will help me in my weakness. You're stronger than my weakness. I need you to give me wisdom to lead me forward. Lord, we're resolved tonight to do the gospel. Jesus, we ask for your help. Holy Spirit, come tonight. Minister to your people. Give direction. Give new wisdom. Give understanding, Lord, as we wait for you. Lord, we want to be resolved to this.